This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today. Check in with State Representative David Brock Smith. Hadn't gotten to talk to him yet since the legislative session adjourned a little while back. Representative, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Pleasure to be here, Kyle. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
So what do you want to start with today?
Well, first I'd like to start with a somber note in the passing of our state representative, Gary Leaf, of course, of House District 2. We joined together in Senate District 1. Gary was just a stalwart public servant. He has arguably more public service than any legislator in the state, and just was a huge advocate, as many of what your listeners know, for CASA and our youth and those less fortunate. Gary brought a sense of humor to our caucus that was unique. And during the long days, some 12, 14, 16-hour days of battling in that building, he was able to bring just a smile even to the end of our legislative process when he was hurting, that and make us laugh and remind us of why we're there and who we're advocating for. And it was just so special. And Gary was very close to me, being, you know, respective county commissioners, him and Douglas prior to becoming a legislator, and me and Curry prior to becoming a legislator. And there's no school to become a state representative. And having the prior experience in the public sector and being providing as much public service in various boards and commissions and other elected positions as Gary did provided him an insight into those budgets and the advocacy for those various public services that really was unmatched. And it's a huge loss to our caucus. It's a huge loss, of course, to Douglas County and Josephine County and his district, and a huge loss for the state as a whole. And my heart goes out to his family and his beloved wife, Carol. And I'm sorry for all of those that knew him, more sorry for those that didn't, because Gary was just a good man. And there's been an outpouring of support and condolences statewide, and he will be missed.
Well, certainly over the weekend, as I ran errands at various locations, folks who, in many cases, I didn't know would come up and talk to me about Gary Leaf and their experience with him at various stores as I was out over the weekend. So thanks for those thoughts. Let's go back to the legislative session. Kind of give us a broad brushstroke about what your overall thoughts are about the session.
It was the most difficult legislative session I think anybody had endured. Not having the public allowed to be in the building was cruel in many ways, really. You know, Senator Hurd advocated for that every single day with every single vote. It was frankly ridiculous. You know, I understand the issues with COVID and its impacts. But I can tell you towards the end of session, you know, as soon as that gavel fell, watching Democrats pull their masks off and suddenly not be concerned about COVID was just wrong. And although we started the public testimony when I was the co-vice chair of the Joint Committee on Carbon Reduction, pushing back against cap and trade, And that is a useful tool for somebody from our district, for Brookings or Roseburg, to have to drive the 4 to 5 to 2, 3 hours to get to the Capitol to maybe only have 3 minutes of testimony. For them to be able to testify is a great step forward, and it's something that we will be advocating to continue. But nothing is more important than a resident of Oregon to be able to sit in front of their legislators in this state and give their testimony with the compassion that they can bring on various issues that are going to impact them, their communities, or their families.
Go ahead. You finish.
Well, there is no comparison to that. And it is something that cannot happen again. And we cannot close the building from the public ever again and move forward with a legislative session like we did.
As you take a look at how the session went, take a look at your district. How was it helped by some of the decisions that were made and maybe funds that were dispersed?
So we had separate funding. There was ARPA dollars, and I think you saw the press release that both Senator Cruz or Senator Hurd and I, joint press release Senator Hurd and I sent out in regards to the ARPA funding. Those investments were in youth and CTE programs for District 1. For infrastructure and economic development, for education. Arguably, the Coquille School District is the largest, has the largest daycare provider in the state. There's money going there to expand their program, which of course helps parents know that their children are in a structured, safe environment, and that that spouse can get back to work sooner, thus bringing in more income into their family, reducing alcohol or drug dependency, domestic violence, and so forth. We invested resources into the Gold Beach School District, so we've kind of centralized in Curry County to replicate that program. So that we can make sure that our nurses, teachers, and other workforce have a stable child care. We made strategic investments in career technical education, and I know that Representative Leaf did the same in Douglas County with his resources. We made investments in the Port of Bandon. Outside of that, through the legislative process, we were able to get the City of Powers $3 million for their failing sewer system, $1.6 million to the Port of Port Orford for their redevelopment project, $250,000 for the Nasika Beach Water District so that they can expand a water line to property that we were able to get near $500,000 for to create a wildfire training facility. We've been working on this for a long time with former Representative Wayne Krieger. His son, Tyson Krieger, is the Gold Beach Fire Chief. Cam Perry, former Commissioner from Coos County, and we have a line on a number of federal grants to create a wildfire training facility, and we're the only one in the state. And to have access to the most rugged and diverse landscape there on Euchre Creek for training for our wildland firefighters will be fantastic for not only our region, but Oregon as a whole.
I have a number of other topics to get to. A break right now, though. Our interview with State Representative David Brock Smith, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Riverside, Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. State Representative David Brock-Smith on with us now, taking a look at the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature with the Democrats in a supermajority situation again. How did that go with Republicans? I mean, was there bipartisanship? Did both sides of the aisle work together? What are your thoughts?
You know, it was hit or miss, Kyle. We have situations where, of course, Senate Bill 554 passed, right, which was the culmination of the gun storage and CHL ban in public places. I was adamantly opposed to that legislation, and one of the petitioners for Initiative Petition 301, which I encourage everyone to sign, and so that we can get that legislation on the ballot. It's a horrible piece of legislation that is going to actually hurt lives. I mean, you have a situation where 16.5% of gun-related felony crimes or active shooter situations are stopped by those individuals with CHLs. And if, like I said in my Ford speech, if we had graduation rates like that, we would be embracing that type of situation in this state. But it's a politically motivated funded by D.C. dollars to move that forward. And I hope that we can collect the nearly 80,000 signatures necessary to put it on the ballot so that individuals can vote. Because we've had increased gun sales, increased CHLs, and not just from our rural neck of the woods, but that from areas of the urban populations, because they're scared of the unbridled and unchecked violence that occurred last summer and through this year from Antifa and the like. Other than that, Kyle, you know, I mean, they passed, I was working against House Bill 2021, which is the 100% clean bill. You have a situation where they passed a piece of legislation that they want to be 100% clean energy in Oregon by 2040, which is impossible. There is no technology that currently exists that will allow the last 15% to occur. Not to mention, you can't have, when you have these, you know, increased heat waves that occur and people are using more energy, that energy has to come somewhere. And the wind technically can't bring it to you. And when you need that AC to run at night, solar doesn't work. And so you need that natural gas to power those generators and create that energy that are necessary. We did get some wins, though. I've been working on a statewide meat processing bill for quite some time. We got that passed in the first special session when we had COVID show us that, you know, we had protein supply chain issues. ODA, Oregon Department of Agriculture, is moving forward on a statewide meat inspection program. And we were able to carve out $2 million to go to grants to those smaller processors around the state so that they can get some grants to help upgrade their facilities to USDA compliance. And it'll kind of work like a program where if you have a that smaller processor that becomes USDA certified, then they have, you know, 10 head of cattle that a local rancher wants to have inspected. They can call ODA. ODA inspector will come inspect that meat. Therefore, they can have it stamped and be able to sell that locally. In my neck of the woods where I live in Port Orford, I have some of the best beef and lamb just miles from me, but I don't have access to it because the nearest larger processing facility is in Springfield, and the cost associated with transportation on top of packaging is just too great for it to come back and be sold commercially. So very excited about that. Partnered with a Democrat on an insulin cost bill, House Bill 2623, to put, you know, checks and balances on the cost of insulin for those that need it. I partnered with Rob Nose on a piece of legislation a few years ago that put checks and balances on the the pharmaceutical industry to not allow them to jack up the prices for certain medications that are necessary for our residents and, of course, seniors. We have probably the most prolific bill that we were able to pass this year, and we won't see it for a while, but it was House Bill 2654, which allows our local electric co-ops, so Douglas County Co-op and Curry, the co-op, the Curry co-op that we have here, to utilize easements that they already have for existing electric utilities and be able to hang fiber and have broadband. We'll be able to put broadband everywhere in the state. And that is a game changer. And as Representative Evans testified in favor of the bill on the House floor, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, as we look back on this 2021 session and we look back at what one bill was the game changer in the future of Oregon, this one is it. And I wholeheartedly agree. I was proud to champion that bill with Representative Marsh, who is a Democrat from Ashland, and really appreciate all the work from our local landowners and their advocates to get language that was appeasing to them, because we will have the opportunity to have broadband everywhere there's power. And that is a big deal for Oregonians.
Talk about the state budget. One of the things in this session, of course, was the budget for the next 2 years. How do you feel that came out?
Well, there's wins and losses. I mean, you have a situation where there's a half a billion dollars going to public health, mental health, behavioral health. Now, as much as that's necessary, now it's we need the framework so that Senator Hurd and myself can advocate for those resources to come to our rural districts, right? We can't allow it to go to Portland and Eugene and Springfield and Corvallis and the larger cities. It needs to come to where it's needed most, and that is in our rural districts that have been beaten down by the environmental for-profit, nonprofit, and Democrat policies that won't allow us to utilize the natural resource industries that built our communities and our midst of sustainment. And so that's, you know, we're literally a month out today of the end of session. It ended a month ago today at about 5:30 in the afternoon. And so I wish I could say I had some downtime, but I decided to paint my parents' house instead of taking a trip. But it allowed me to think about the strategy and how do we move forward. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that have been allocated to workforce housing. That workforce housing needs to come to our rural areas as well. And so in the next few months, that is going to be my focus. I know Senator Hurd is, we've discussed this. It's going to be his top priority for him so that we can move forward with making sure that those urban areas don't gobble up all these resources that are our tax dollars.
All right, out of time for now, but a check in there with State Representative David Brock Smith. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thank you so much. Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.